Good evening. It's good to see everybody out this evening and this cooler weekend that we've had, and it's good to see it. Good to see everybody, though. I don't know where the month of March went for us, but I felt like we were sick every day. So it's good to be back with you all, and we appreciate all the prayers and concerns and all the things that we just appreciate you all so much, and thank you so much. This evening, the lesson is, when Jesus is no longer wanted. I want us to turn to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. John chapter 18, and let's look at verses 1 through 5. John chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the raven of the Kidron, where there was a garden in which he entered with his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" Verse 5, they answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am he." And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. You know, it might seem unbelievable, but Jesus is no longer wanted by many. And why is that? Why is that? Well, we're going to look at that tonight. Well, you know, it's a sad statement, but it's true. A sad statement, but true. Some have no use for Jesus anymore. Others want a weaker version of Jesus that suits their desires. You know, this is not the first time in history that men no longer wanted Jesus, though. You know, we're going to talk about Judas this evening a little bit, and we're going to talk about Peter. We're going to talk about Annas and Caiaphas, and then we're going to talk about Pilate. We're going to talk about these topics tonight a little bit. But number one, we're going to look at Judas. Number one, Judas no longer wanted Jesus. You know, he allowed money to get in the way of his dedication to Jesus. He allowed money to get in the way. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 14 through 16. Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. From then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. You know, Judas betrayed Jesus at the cost of 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. You know, I'm sure that was a lot for Judas, you know, but money was more important to him. Money was more important to him. We too can allow things to get in our way, to get in our way of our love for Jesus. The world may use fame and fortune to tear us away from our focus on God. We mustn't follow, or we mustn't allow the world to influence us, because it won't get us to heaven. The world will not lead us to heaven. The second thing, his betrayal was done with a kiss. His betrayal was done with a kiss. If you look at Luke chapter 22, Luke 22 verses 47 and 48. Luke chapter 22, verses 47 and 48. While he was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them. And he approached Jesus to kiss him. Verse 48. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Okay, the next thing. What would be enough for us to no longer want Jesus? What would be enough for us to no longer want Jesus? Well, let's look at Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So even if we gain the whole world, we may lose our soul. You know, our treasure should be laid up in heaven. That's where our treasure should lie. It's easy to get caught up in worldly thoughts, but we must make godly decisions. The next thing is, instead of standing beside the Lord, Judas stood with the soldiers. In John 18 and verse 5, and this is the latter part of that verse, and Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. He was standing with the soldiers. You know, it's always better to be on the Lord's side. It's always better to be on the Lord's side. And even though Judas betrayed Jesus, he could have asked to be forgiven. Instead, his own guilt cost him his life. Just when we think that we can't be forgiven, we need to do our best to know that we can be forgiven if we repent and change our ways. We don't have to live that way. Guilt can do a lot of things. It can do a lot of things to a person, and it just keeps getting worse if we allow ourselves to think that we aren't important to God and that we aren't good enough, because we are good enough. Peter, let's talk about Peter. Peter no longer wanted Jesus. Peter was defiant in his position that he would not deny the Lord. In John chapter 13, verses 36 through 38. John chapter 13, verses 36 through 38. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you." Verse 38, Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times." You know, Peter was sure of himself. He was sure of himself. But I think we can be like Peter sometimes. We can be too sure. It's like saying that we are perfect, and that's not going to happen to me, you know. But it can happen to us. It's inevitable that we're going to fall. But that, like I said, it's saying we're perfect, and that's not true for any of us. But we should strive to be perfect. Now let's talk about in the garden. Peter defended the Lord. In the garden, Peter defended the Lord. In John chapter 18, verses 10 and 11. John chapter 18, verses 10 and 11. Simon Peter, then having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave, and themselves and the slave's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put the sword into the sheath, the cup which the Father has given me. Shall I not drink it?" So Peter normally had good intentions. Peter normally had good intentions, but he still faltered some. But Peter did, he denied the Lord on three occasions. If you would, turn to John chapter, we're in John chapter 18 there. Let's look at verses 25 through 27. John chapter 18, verses 25 through 27. Actually, I'll start, and I'm going to look at verse 17 first. 17, 25, and 26, 27. Then the slave girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." And that was the first time that he denied. Now let's look at verse 25. Verse 25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." one of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And then verse 27, this is the third denial. Peter then denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed. You know, when we deny our Christianity, do we not do the same thing? When we deny our Christianity, do we not do the same thing? We should wear the name Christian proudly. We should be proud that we are Christians. You know, it's good that we share a hope of heaven. Wherefore, if we deny Jesus and his saving message, we have no hope. We have no hope. You know, thankfully, Peter did come to his senses. Peter came to his senses and repented, which led to Jesus taking him back in Matthew chapter 26, verse 75. Matthew 26, verse 75. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he wept bitterly. Also in John chapter 21, verse 15 through 19. You know, we won't turn, you can turn there and look at that. But John chapter 21, verse 15 through 19, you know, Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. You know, Peter loved Jesus, and Jesus knew Peter loved him. Jesus loves us even when we sin. He loves us even when we sin. He doesn't love the sin, but he loves the sinner. We too must have that same attitude in our daily walk with God. third person tonight. We're going to talk about two people here. Annas and Caiaphas. Annas and Caiaphas no longer wanted Jesus. You know, Annas and Caiaphas, they were allies of the Lord from the beginning, from the start. Their disdain for Jesus was demonstrated. And let's look at John 18 there. And we're going to look at 19 through 24 and then verse 28. John chapter 18, verses 19 to 24. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews came together, and I spoke nothing in secret." Verse 21, "Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the officers standing nearby struck Jesus, saying, "Is that the way you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify of the wrong. But if rightly, why do you strike me?" So Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. And if you go on down to verse 28 there. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. So these men, they could have freed Jesus. They could have freed him of any wrong, but they went against him. Jesus told the truth, and no one was listening. Jesus told the truth, and no one was listening. You know, the same goes on today. Same goes on today for us. You know, we can teach the truth, but some will not listen. Some will not listen. Many want salvation their own way. They want salvation their own way. But salvation is only in Jesus Christ. No one else. No one else. Let's talk about Pilate. He's the last one we're going to talk about this evening. Pilate no longer wanted Jesus. Pilate was willing to release Jesus in John chapter 19 and verse 12. John 19 and verse 12. As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar." You know, the people were even threatening Pilate. And he wanted to be found good in their eyes and not in God's. You know, pleasing the people is so much easier than pleasing God, because you can have what you want. You can do whatever you want to without any thought of God. And that's what many people think. But Pilate could have released Jesus as well. He could have released Jesus, and he found no fault in him. But he was allowing the people to influence him. We must choose to be the influencer and not be influenced. People make things sound good to manipulate the ones who are weak. We must be a light to the world and allow that light to shine brightly. You know, the Jews would have nothing of it. And eventually Pilate sent Jesus away to be crucified. So let's stay there in John chapter 19 there. And let's look at verses 16 through 19. John 19, verses 16 through 19. So he then handed him over to them to be crucified. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on the other side and Jesus in between. And then verse 19, Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It was written, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. You know, Jesus died a cruel death. He died a cruel death, and it showed his love for mankind. Showed his love for mankind, and it's the deepest kind of love. You know, he could have stopped at any time and not followed through with God's plan. He could have came down. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He knew what he had to do. You know, we have tasks we need to carry out here on earth that God wants us to do. We are his hands and his feet. But sometimes it's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get sidetracked and taken away from those tasks that we are to do. Jesus stayed the course, knowing he paved a way for us, because now we have forgiveness of sins. You know, he made things better for us, and we should be forever grateful for his sacrifice. In closing this evening, you know, today people want Jesus less and less all the time. I've said this before from this podium that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, our churches were full, and some have shut their doors ever since. And it's kind of a sad thing. So we have work to do. We have plenty of work to do. But you know, like I said, today people, they want Jesus less and less. When I say that, I'm talking about removed from government, removed from schools, and everyday culture, things of that nature. The world will take Jesus out of everything if we allow it. If we allow it. We must be God's hands and feet and do the work of the Lord. We must never get to the point where we no longer want the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. Therefore let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any of you may seem to have come short of it. You know, there's always a need for the Lord. We need him daily. And I hope tonight this lesson is yours. And if you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you've struggled in your daily walk, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand to sing the invitation.